Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Neiber. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Neivert.
What is the church? It's a good question, isn't it? What is the church? Now, in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, when Paul is speaking concerning marriage, he ends with this statement, verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 5, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, in this passage of Scripture, the church is mentioned 6 times. Verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. Verse 24, therefore, if the church is subject to Christ. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. And then Paul ends this, and he'd been giving these instructions on marriage, and it is instructions regarding a true biblical marriage. But he says, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Now, in the Scripture, the mystery is not an Agatha Christie mystery, you know, who done it? Mystery to me. That's not what the word mystery means. Mystery in the Scripture is a truth that we would never have known, never even had a clue of, had not God made it known in His Word. Here's an example. The Trinity. God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible is filled with this. God is one God in three distinct persons. Now, how would you and I have ever known that had not God made it known concerning Himself in His Word? We would have never known that. We couldn't have even speculated something like that. A mystery is what God has made known. It's not so much understood as believed. I don't understand the Trinity, but I believe the Trinity. I totally believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Intellectually grasp it? No. Believe it with all my heart. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How would we have ever known that God became flesh had not God made it known? There's so many mysteries in the Scriptures, and one of the great mysteries is Christ and the church. You see, the church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is called the Lamb's wife, the Lamb's bride. Now, the word church means a called out assembly. That's what the word means. A called out assembly. Who did the calling? God did. If you're a true church member, and I'm not talking about a local assembly right now, I'm talking about a part of the bride of Christ, the universal church that Christ loved and gave Himself for. If you're a part of that church, it's because God has called you out to that. He called you by His grace, revealed Himself to you. You wouldn't be interested in Christ. You wouldn't be interested in the things of God had not God called you out to it. Now, this word church is used in 2 senses in the Bible. First, there is the local church, the church of Corinth. What about the 7 churches in Asia that the Lord wrote to? They were local assemblies. I pastor Todd's Road Grace Church. It's a local church. Now, there are many institutions called churches, as far as local churches, that really are not churches. Somebody says, why would you say that? Because there are many places where the gospel is not preached. Now, if you would ask pretty much any member of a church, is the gospel preached at your church? They'd say, well, of course it is. And I understand them saying that, but the gospel has a content. It's very important. If the content of the gospel is not preached, the gospel is not preached. If the gospel is not preached, it's not a church. Whatever you want to call it, it's not a church, because a church preaches the gospel and stands for the gospel. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is a very important passage of Scripture. Paul says, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel. So, we're going to hear it from the lips of Paul, the inspired apostle. He says in verse 3, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Every word is extremely important. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. You can't preach the gospel and not preach from the Old Testament Scriptures, because everything in the New Testament is in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament actually is the explanation of the New Testament. You can't separate the Old. You know, some people think the Old Testament's not important, it's character studies and so on. No. Christ died according to the Old Testament Scriptures. According to the sacrifices, according to the rites, ceremonies. Let me give you one example. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, the Passover? You would take the blood of the lamb without blemish and put it over the posts of the door and go into the house. And when God passed through, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, the sacrifice had to be without blemish, speaking of Christ's perfect life. He never sinned. You were to kill the sacrifice as a substitute, and you were to put the blood over the door. And anybody that was in a house with the blood over the door was safe and secure. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your faith. He didn't say, when I see your sincerity. He didn't say, when I see your good works or your evidences. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, what if somebody was in one of those houses that had committed a horrible crime that very day? If they were in the house with the blood over the door, were they safe? Absolutely. Because God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, that's Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, let's how that Christ, the Christ. That's his offices. He is God's prophet. He is God's priest. He is God's king. And he's a prophet like no other prophet, because every other prophet said, thus saith the Lord. He never said that. He said, I say unto you. He is the Word of God. Every other priest brought the blood of an animal sacrifice that could never take away sins. He brought to God his own blood that actually put away sin as God's priest. He's the priest. He's the altar. He's the sacrifice. What a priest. He's God's king. He's the one whose will is always done. He's the one who's in absolute control. How that Christ died. Well, why did he die? As a sin bearer, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He died under the justice of God. He died under the wrath of God. He died for our sins. Who's the hour? Does that include people in hell that he died for? Did he die for those people who are in hell? Well, if he did, God's not just. If he punishes for the same sin twice. If he punishes in the Savior and then punishes again for those people on hell. And it's not his blood that saves. It's something you do that makes a difference. No, the hour is the elect. His church. Evidenced by believing the gospel. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, every message has something to do with that. Every message has something to do with that. And the church is the one who brings this message. There's the gospel's preached, and there's folks who believe. That's who is in the local church. Folks who really believe the message and love the message and rest in the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's a local assembly. That's the church in the local aspect. And then there's the universal church. And every time the word church is used in Ephesians chapter 5, it's with reference to the universal church. Christ loved the church. The universal church. All of the elect. And He gave Himself for it. He loved the church. It is all of those who are eternally united to Christ, all of the elect of God, all for whom Christ died. And this is a church that never increases. You know, people talk about church growth. This church never grows. It's got the exact same membership it had before the foundation of the world. It never grows. It never shrinks. You know, local churches grow, they shrink, and they cease to exist at some point. There's never been a local church that's continued. And I can see the Lord's wisdom in making it to where it's that way, because if there's a church that went all the way back to the apostles, people could think, man, I'm in the church. I'm in the good church. And they'll find comfort in being in that church and find security in being in that church. That's why the Lord doesn't let a local church continue. He removes the candlestick at some point. It's going to happen at the church I pastor at some point if the Lord didn't come back first. I hope I'm dead when it happens, but it will happen. And this church, though, it's never going to increase, decrease, or cease to exist. It is the eternal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has a role. You know, in our church, at Todd Grove Grace Church, we don't have a role. You talk about church roles. And in a local assembly, you always have wheat and tares. On the church roll, you have people who may be believers and people who may not. And the Bible never says anything about having a church roll anyway, as far as a local church. If you believe the gospel, you're a member of the church. If you come to Todd Road Grace Church and you believe the message that's preached, love the gospel, rest in Christ, you're a member. That's it. I'm not looking for anything else. Do you believe the gospel? But there is a church roll with the universal church, with names written. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And it's got the names of the elect in it. It's called in Hebrews 12:23, the general assembly and church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You can read about that in Revelation 20 and Revelation 21, Daniel chapter 12, about this book with all the names of God's elect written upon it. Now, you will remember when the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The Lord was at the right hand of the Father. Saul couldn't reach him, but the Lord was speaking of his church that he was persecuting. And the Lord said, "When you persecute them, you are persecuting me." That's what the church is. Those who are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when he said, "Inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. And inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it not unto me." The church is his bride, he that he has become one with. The two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about those who are united, eternally united to Him. in Him. That's the church. The church are those who are eternally united to Him. The Lord gives the example of, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now you think of the vine and the branches, the same stem that goes through the vine goes through the branches. Now this is a mystery. It's just believed. I don't understand it. But all of God's elect have always been known as the church. And when the Lord gives this earthly illustration, it can't go completely because a branch can be cut off from the vine physically. But that can't happen with the church. Eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ, both He that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. So the church is that body that is united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, we read these words. God hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church is the body of Christ. Literally? Literally. Explain that to me. I couldn't begin to. But the church is His body, His mystical body. And it says it is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, when God created Adam, Adam was not complete, was he? He was not complete until he was given Eve. That completed him. And the Lord Jesus Christ would not be complete if even one of His people was lost. The church is His fullness. Now, we're complete in Him. If I'm a believer, I'm complete in Him, I'm lacking nothing. But it's still true, and I say this with reverence and fear, but yet knowing it's what the Bible teaches, Christ would not be full if He lost one of His people. He said, this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, I've already read this, but think of what this says with regard to the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, for this purpose, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's what Christ has done for His church. In dying for her, He's made her holy and without blemish. Now Matthew chapter 16, we read these words, and these are the words of the Lord. He says in verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what is he talking about when he talks about thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church? Let me say this first. The church, the true church, is the church he builds. It's not a man-made institution. It's not made by men. It's the church He builds. On this rock will I build my church. What rock? Well, let's look at the whole passage and see what led the Lord to say this. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They put you in some high cotton. But that was really derogatory. The Lord is infinitely above any of these men. These were sinful men. He's the Son of God. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter. Church is not built on Peter. Upon Peter's confession of who Jesus Christ is. Thou art the Christ, the prophet, the priest, and the king, the Son of the living God. That means He's the Creator, equal with the Father because He's God. That means He controls everything that's taking place. He's the absolute sovereign of the universe. Everything that's happening, He's in control of. He is salvation. He is salvation. Let me repeat that. He is salvation. Salvation is Him. It's who He is and what He did. And that's the message of the church. That's the confession of the church. And that's the rock upon which Christ builds His church. You know, the leper understood this when he said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. He knew that salvation was utterly in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our message. Now in Hebrews chapter 2, we read these words. I've already quoted one of the verses, but I want to do another one too. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read this. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The church is made up of all of his brethren, and it's the place where he sings. And all of his people hear this glorious song. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, the Lord said, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now what this is talking about is public worship. Now I'm preaching on TV and I hope you hear, I hope you believe, but this is no substitute for public worship. God's people gathering together. It's a called out assembly. God's people gathering together to hear the gospel. And this is where Christ promises His presence. He says, I walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, talking about the seven churches of Asia. The Lord's presence is in public worship. The most pure private worship anybody ever experiences is only in public worship. You can't substitute media for public worship. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And that's why church attendance is important, because He's there. That's what other reason is needed. If it's a true church meeting together, preaching the gospel, believing the gospel, He's promised He is in their midst. May the Lord impress us with what church is in that sense. In Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible, we read beginning in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. This is where the Lord gives His testimony, in the churches gathered together to hear His gospel. This is where we hear from the Lord. And that's how important this is. This is where we hear from the Lord. And look at the church's job in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, say, Come, we preach the gospel to the world. It's done through the church. I love 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is called the pillar and the ground of the truth, that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar is what you uphold something so everybody can see it. The church is the one who upholds the gospel to the world. And it's the ground. It's grounded in the truth. You know, people think, well, seminaries, the seminaries are the place where the pillar and ground of truth. No, no, that's a parachurch organization. It's the church of the living God that is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Listen to these words that the Bible used to describe God's church. The body of Christ. The church of God. And that's not talking about the denomination. Or the church of Christ. That's not talking about that denomination. That's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb's wife. The Lamb's bride. The brethren of Christ. His companion. Daughters of the King. The family of God. The fold of God. The flock of Christ. The sheep. The friend of God. His habitation. The house of God. The Israel of God. The portion of the Lord. A peculiar or a purchased people. The lot of His inheritance. The temple of God. The treasure of God. The apple of His eye. Vessels of mercy. The vineyard of the Lord. Children of the living God. The ones the Father gave Him. What an awesome thing it is to be in the church. And I'm not only talking about a local church. I'm thankful to be part of a local church. The local church has wheat. It has tares. It is saved sinners who are still sinners. And there's still going to be problems. But when this whole thing is over, all of the church will stand before God singing the praises of the Lamb. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And they'll spend eternity worshiping Him. Won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. And we'll know the only reason we're there is when we see the scars on His hands and His feet. And we will spend eternity worshiping the Lord. Oh, the glory of His church. It's His glory. And we have this message on DVD and CD. If you write the church, call or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niver@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.